Yeah, thank you very much. Mine is very easy. Mine is simply to firstly thank you for the opportunity to humble ourselves before you and share with you our strategic and annual performance plan. Just to backtrack a bit, Chair, we were before a similar committee just before the last election, wherein we gave certain undertakings. At that stage, we were fresh from the box, and we did indicate that at all material times, we will always honor your invitations with our presence and also get our cue from yourselves to the extent necessary. And our presence today is basically staying true to the commitment that we did make. We have presented a draft at the stage, and there were certain comments which members made, and we undertook to incorporate those into the documentation that we'll be talking to today. And having said that, we then agreed that the CEO, as the captain of that industry, will then take members through the presentation, and as and when we engage with the document, we'll all chip in to the extent necessary. So I think without any further ado, Madam Chair, allow me then to ask our CEO Advocate Nsibi to take members through the documentation and the presentation, which I believe was disciplined. Thank you, Chair.
Fire on, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, members, honourable members, we will try to take this journey also at some point trying to revisit where we come from so that we have a correct contextualization of what the RTMC is. Chair, we have deemed it proper that we kick off with the enabling legislation that established the RTMC. In terms of the legal framework, we were established in terms of the Road Traffic Management Corporation Act of 1999. There were specific reasons why the RTMC was established. Primarily, for the establishment of the RTMC was to ensure that we have a partnership between the national, provincial, and local spheres of government. To that extent, the key element of the founding legislation in the preamble refers to effect the pooling of road traffic powers of the minister, MEC, and the resources of the national and provincial spheres of government responsible for road traffic management, particularly in support of enhanced cooperative and coordinated road traffic strategic planning, regulation, facilitation, and law enforcement. This gives a fair view as to why RTMC was then established, and at the very same time begin to define the powers of the RTMC. But in all these other issues, we will then want to deal with an issue prefacing our strategic document that also deals with the overall quality of road traffic services, and in particular, safety, security, order, discipline, and mobility on the roads. I'm emphasizing this, Chair, because it finds resonance and expression in our strategic document. I will also tease on the issue of the purpose of the Act that also gives issue to regulate, strengthen, and monitor intergovernmental contact and cooperation in road traffic matters. But allow us, Chair, to also emphasize one of the key components being to stimulate research in road traffic matters and effectively utilize the resources of the existing institutes and research bodies. This is why the RTMC was founded, and we found resonance in terms of this. But at the very same time, it's important that we refer to the other enabling legislation, in particular, the Constitution as well as the Local Government Act. If we then go into the Constitution, we will then see that there are some of the powers that are exclusively the powers of the province as well as, to a greater extent, the municipalities. To this extent, we refer to Schedule 4 of Part A, which deals with the concurrent competency, so that we then understand that there is a clear delineation of powers within the spheres as well as the RTMC. Why we're dealing with these merchants, because some of the merchants that we're dealing with in terms of our APP also deals with the concurrent competencies, in particular, vehicle licensing, road traffic regulation, and public transport. But when we then go to the provincial powers in terms of Schedule 5, Part A and B, which deals with provincial road and traffic, Chair, we're dealing with these matters because in certain areas, you find as if there is competition between the national, provincial, and the RTMC. So we deem it prudent that you must, from the onset, deal with these issues and clear the mix. Key to our issues, which of course, these are the powers of the MECs and the powers of the minister that have been put together for the RTMC. RTMC has 10 functional areas. Out of the 10 functional areas, one of the areas has been transferred to ARTIA due to the establishment of ARTO, which is now being dealt by ARTIA, which is another Schedule 3A institution. These functional areas, we categorize them into three components. One being law enforcement, the other being road safety, and capacity development. That's how our strategic document then deals with these issues of the functional areas as well as the founding provisions of the RTMC Act. The vehicle and road readiness testing and licensing of drivers, this would deal with it as law enforcement as well as road traffic law enforcement. The three are those pillars that we deal with them on day to day. However, it is safe to say to the committee that three of the functional areas which are red are still retained by the department. And these three functional areas, which are vehicle and road readiness testing and licensing of drivers, vehicle regulation and licensing, it's done by the department, but the department has procured the services of a service provider since the year 2000, which is TASIMA, and this refers to what is commonly known as e-natives. So that function currently is not dealt by the RTMC. We are yet to receive this function since the contract is going to expire at the end of April. One of the issues in relation to road safety, which is the fundamental and the fulcrum of us and I think of the country, is the communication education. Then in terms of capacity development, we deal with the training of traffic personnel, road traffic information that particularly deals with the statistics of the carnages and the accidents on our road is what we deal with. And accident investigation and recording, as well as infrastructure safety audits, which we then refer to it as engineering services. These 10 functional areas are the main functions of the RTMC, and this strategic document seeks to speak to those areas which have been given over to us. Chair, we also deem it prudent that we must give expression to the governance framework, in particular the Constitution, the National Road Traffic Act, Road Traffic Corporation Management, Public Finance Management Act, Preferential Procurement Policy Framework, Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment, the National Treasury Guidelines, the NDP, as well as the Millennium Development Goals. These are being canvassed simply because to ensure that there is a wide range of legislation that requires of us to fulfill our mandate and to observe and comply with. This slide will talk to where we come from. It is very important that we must understand our history so as to understand where we want to go. This has been the history of the RTMC. It had four pillars. The pillars were made out of make roads safe in South Africa, and within that pillar of making roads safe in South Africa, there were the issue of the safe road users, regulation, and safe cars. And The other pillar was to build it, ensure effective stakeholder relations, and there was only one key principle in that pillar, understanding that we cannot do it alone. And the other pillar was dealing with ensure corporate excellence. Then the APP there too, or strategic pillars, were compliance, target setting, monitoring and evaluation, project management and governance, and the last pillar was to provide corporate support, which dealt with human resources, training of staff personnel, financial management. So why we're doing this? It's so that when even the committee evaluates us on the annual report of the year that has gone by, is to understand where we came from as the RTMC. We're teasing this. However, as our new trajectory, we then can be prudent, having gained wisdom from interacting with the previous committee and having consulted all the stakeholders, which we then turn it as our destiny, 2014 to 2019. We then deemed it prudent to have five pillars. Within the five pillars, we then identify one of the weaknesses that we have had as the RTMC related to the stakeholder management. Then that pillar was therefore called improve and institutionalize stakeholder relations. Within that pillar, you then have five of the pillars of the KPIs. One being promote and support road safety, mobilize and sustain relations with other spheres of government. This was very key because there has never been any harmony, cooperation, and enhancement within the spheres of government. So in order to fight the scourge and ensure that we change the attitudes in relation to road safety, the three key levels of government are very critical. The other pillar was to promote private sector participation. We can't do it alone. We will need the private sector to play a role. That was the realization as we then had this KPI. Key to it, having dealt with the three issues that I said that arise from the functional areas, some of them are still retained by the department, was to combat fraud and corruption. It's common cause that in terms of the vehicle testing, licensing, and learner license drivers issuance, there's a lot of corruption that is taking place at that point. So we dedicated this to ensure that we deal with this issue, because we can't allow in South Africa that people that are not competent to drive should be on our roads. That is tantamount to a situation where you give an untrained person a firearm fully loaded with one arm to then say, go and kill the people on the roads. Then the last pillar was to collaborate with Department of Transport on road safety. The second pillar refers to the legislation. We then say enable legislation to promote road safety. To this extent, we have only one KPI that deals with regulate the road traffic environment, but it also deals with road safety. The third pillar was a realization that in terms of the RTMC Act, it clearly defines the fact and directs that RTMC should be self-sustainable. To that extent, this pillar deals with the improved financial sustainability. In this instance, there are three KPIs, which deals with the improved revenue generation, effective management of operational costs, and develop and implement an alternative funding model. The fourth pillar deals with the actual situation, which is to create a dynamic and transformed organization. Within this dynamic and transformed environment, we are dealing with, one, the development of a 21st century curriculum and cadre. This refers one of the key issues that relates to the Road Traffic Management Corporation is to capacitate and set norms and standards, and also deal with the curriculum of the road traffic officers. Here we are then saying that we have realized that times have moved. Ever since the development of the Road Traffic Act, we have never aligned the curriculum and the training of the traffic officers to be in line with the environment that prevails on the ground and the challenges that are confronting us. Also is an issue of establishment of a center of excellence. We should treat traffic not as an as a calling, but we should traffic. We should treat traffic and road safety as a profession. To that extent, you then have to deal with an issue of excellency, and then the establishment of the center of excellence becomes the better issue. And also, the one pillar is to create a learning organization. We know that there needs to be mobility, there needs to be skills development, there needs to be development of the officers. To that extent, we must be partnering with the institutions of higher learning to learn from those institutions how best can we then begin to position the RCMC. Enhance public confidence and trust in road traffic information. This is very critical. The road traffic information is a tool, both as planning, both as a tool that deals with forecasting for the future. This information is not only dealt by us, it's also dealt by the banks, it's dealt by the private sector, it's also a planning tool for us, as the NDP will also emphasize this fact. The last pillar is to implement innovative technologies. We know that we are in the world that is forever changing and evolving, so we need to be also technologically be on par with the environment. The last issue is because we are also in a government sector, we also deal with employees, we deal with an institution, we therefore deal with one of the key pillars that finds resonance with our government. In particular, one is to foster good governance, ensure that we follow the rule of law, equitable and inclusive organization that complies with all the enabling legislation that deals with the institution, respond to the developmental goals, implement delegations of authority, and create a conducive environment geared towards service delivery. We deemed ourselves as a service delivery point. To that extent, we should ensure that services are within reach and people access the services with ease. These are the key pillars of the strategic document that is our trajectory from 2014 to 2019. Chair, the strategic document by its own nature is not static. It's forever changing and evolving. Will also change with the time in various financial years if there's an imperative and compelling reasons to review. Now, we now deal with one of the key strategic objectives as well as the performance indicators where we are now going to be evaluated upon. One of the key pillars that we then dealt with was to improve and institutionalize stakeholder relations. We have set strategic objectives. One, promote and support road safety. Mobilize and sustain relations with other spheres of government. Promote private sector participation, combat threat and corruption, and collaborate with DOT. These were the KPIs that we dealt with. But what are the key performance indicators? When we say promote and support road safety, we then say as the key performance indicator, let's deal with road safety education and awareness campaign. Ours, in dealing with the road safety, we know that we cannot deal with road safety if we're not dealing with education. Education and awareness will then assist us to change the attitude and the perception and ensure that people have knowledge about road safety. We might have the best law enforcement, but without education and knowledge and changing of the attitude, we'll never deal with the scourge on our roads. But also one of the issues is to ensure that we market road safety sufficiently. Though we are going to create awareness, but the marketing of the road safety. This chair refers to a successful campaign that was launched by the Department of Health, in particular the HIV and AIDS awareness campaign. So we're saying road safety is the same cancer that is raised in South Africa. It might even be worse than HIV and AIDS, simply because with this cancer of the road safety, it doesn't discriminate. No matter how much you can deal with, we need to ensure that we begin to create that awareness. Also, we also need to deal with the vehicles stop and check. This is just one of the pillars of the 365 days program. The issue of stopping and checking the vehicles saves it's twofold. It's to ensure that we deal with the law enforcement, but at the very same time, it's to ensure that we create awareness to the road users of our seriousness in dealing with the road safety. High impact operations, this relates to one of the key issues when you want to deal with road safety and law enforcement is visibility. Because the conduct of the individuals on the roads, once you let the element of visibility, then the element of lawlessness comes into the picture. The key one here is the formalization of the relationship. Until the three spheres of government are talking to one another and have hegemony in relation to the operations and the conduct, this chair starts with an issue of ensuring that the provincial government as well as municipalities must align their strategic plans with the strategic plans of RTMC to ensure that we are undertaking the programs simultaneously with the same vigor, and it's a 365 days program. Road safety is not an issue of festive season, Easter holidays. It's an everyday issue, and it's everybody's business. That's what we are then saying. If government can then have alignment in terms of the strategic documents, we will have won 20% of the fight. The issue of fraud and corruption, it's a known fact that some of the people that are on our roads are not supposed to be on our roads, but they've acquired these licenses through the means that they've dealt with. It's very interesting, Chair, when we come to this, because we know that people refer to the driver's licenses or the learner's licenses as ATM. Our law enforcement, they are coordinating and conniving in the issuance of these driver's licenses and learner's licenses. Where we have dealt with the operation, Chair, we have recently had an operation in Limpopo and Mpumalanga. At 12 o'clock when we arrested the suspects, one of the suspects in the pocket had 21,000, the other had 27, and the other 33. That's how right this issue and the scarce is. You will also pick it up on the roads. As they stop you, you will then be told that you see that your vehicle is not roadworthy, however, I'll allow you to proceed, buy me some cold drink. And the cold drink is a 500 grand or is a 1,000 grand. These are the issues that are within our road users. Hence, we then say education and awareness is very critical so that we as the road users also don't play and participate in the corruption that our traffic officers are dealing with. One common phenomenon, Chair, is relating to speed cameras. You will be amazed how the traffic officers owns the speed cameras machines. When he goes off weekend, he leaves this to another colleague for a fee. I'm off this weekend. In order for me to give you my machine, give me 2,000. What does it mean? It means that I know that if I was on the road, I was going to make more. So for you to use my machine, you will then make more money on the road. That's what is prevailing in the area of law enforcement. It is on those bases, Chair, we then go back to the 21st century curriculum that we must now redesign the curriculum of the road of the traffic officers. Because if you look at the curriculum, it's not where the paper is written on. Even if they do the criminal law, they only do certain sections of the criminal procedure, not more than 11 sections of the criminal procedure. So it's a crash course. So we're now saying let's integrate this course also to deal with the times that we evolved. We now have the combating of fraud and corruption. We integrate them all into a curriculum that all our traffic officers are going to get into. But equally so, Chair, is to develop a curriculum for the road safety officers. It shouldn't just be an easy issue to become a road safety officer, but you need to have a particular qualification accredited to you. Now, the issue of the second pillar being the enabling legislation to promote road safety, strategic objectives to regulate the road traffic environment. Chair, here we're talking only of one pillar to deal with the national law enforcement code. We're now saying the traffic officers should have a particular code. A traffic officer gets expelled from Western Cape for corruption, he gets employed in Mpumalanga, because there is no register that monitors these people in their movement. So we're saying we need to have a code and the institution that are beginning to deal with, so as to regulate these issues and shift through the process. The improved financial sustainability. Chair, here we're pleading poverty, but we're aware we have the will and the zeal to begin to be self-sustainable. However, like any other child, before you become of age, the parents will nurture you till that stage where you have become of age. Ours was just funded by the Fiscus, and the Fiscus funds us for about 10% or 15% of our operations. We derive existence from the transactional fees, and transactional fees are those fees that you pay when vehicles are tested, or license, or even the renewal of their licenses. It's the major part that funds our existence. But we then say we need to develop an alternative funding model to ensure that we are self-sustainable. Key performance indicators, we want to reduce the non-core functions. We want to spend more money where it's needed, and develop and implement a funding model. Chair, here, we are pleading to the committee to make our case in terms of the budget that has been given to us. We are operating from a budget of 652 million, and we can say as a fact that we'll never win this battle without the necessary resources. That funding is not it's not sustainable. For 2015, we are looking for about 1 billion, but still, it's just a drop in an ocean. But we are mindful of the situation that in terms of the fiscals, we might not have much more in the envelope. But within the envelope, we are saying, let's make a case to invest where it matters. So let me pause here, Chair, and say, if Sweden could deal with the road carnages and road safety effectively, it was not an investment of overnight. It was an investment of about 30 years, serious investment in education and awareness creation. Because our price, it's only changing the attitudes, and the attitudes on our roads can be changed by ensuring that we educate our people, and our people are, of course, aware. Once you educate the child, you educate the mother, you have educated the nation. That's where we must therefore begin to invest our money. We might have the state of the art instruments, gadgets, whether they speed cameras and whatever, we shall never deal with the sketch until we change the attitudes, behavior, and the knowledge. That's what we need to deal with. Now, we get to the core issue, which is to create a dynamic and transformed organization. Here we're talking of development of the 21st century curriculum and the cadre. Since 1966, the training of the traffic officers have not changed. And I'm talking about 1966. How many changes have come into the country when the curriculum of road traffic officers have never been changed? So if we were in the traffic college in 1966, you go today, you still do what you have done in 1966 without any change. And this is the issue that we then say, let's begin to change this curriculum and allow a career pathing, but at the very same time ensure that it's developing human capital and expertise. One of the days where they will say you, when you're not doing well at school, they say, no, you can leave school and become a traffic officer. We're not a dumping ground. Oh, yeah. Now, it should be a profession that then begins. It's a fact, Chair, we have taken an analysis. If you look at most of the traffic officers, you have two components. One, those are people that were not making a grade at school. Two, those are people that are looking for a better employment by using the traffic as a wait, as a platform, waiting for the train until my greener pastures come. We need to change that perception. This is borne by the fact that if you take the analysis of the court cases that goes to court, about 25% makes the grade, 75% gets withdrawn. How the summons are written, how they present evidence, and how they contest in court. So the investment in terms of the machinery does not work because the human capital has not been changed and reorientated. That's what we need to deal with. Establishment of the center of excellence within the traffic of the law enforcement. We want also to pitch up those that are excelling to be the D-Corp that will then be dealing with the law enforcement in our case. We can't be, we're not an animal farm, but there's a good thing arising out of the animal farm. They say all animals are equal, but there are those that are more equal than the others. We want to take a step ahead and deal with those that are more equal than others that can begin to deal with those in terms of skill, in terms of knowledge, and in terms of competence. But also at the same time, we want to be able to create a learning organization. Chair, here, we're then saying it's not sufficient to have a level, entry level 6, or a diploma, or a certificate. We want you to progress and become a professional in your own profession. To this end, we're partnering currently with the three universities, University of UJ, UNESA, and TUT. Their curriculum has now been attuned to our curriculum. Once you have gone through our colleges, you'll then be accredited for the first year, so you can do second year and third year, and therefore acquire a degree in terms of this issue. It's one of the processes that we're beginning to sift some of the people that are not supposed to be within the law enforcement. When we met the police, we were very amazed when they were then saying, we're taking your model, we're also going to 3 years in terms of such. But that's how we need to be serious about our law enforcement if we want to deal with the sketch in here. We also want to ensure that we inspire public confidence and trust in our road traffic information. Here, these are the statistics, and all of us know that statistics play a critical role in our country. To this extent, we have now partnered with State SA, we're partnering with CSIR, we're also partnering with the Medical Research Councils. And these interventions is to ensure that once we publish statistics, nobody can begin to challenge the statistics. As currently the minister announces statistics, some other people without any knowledge and whatever challenges the validity of the statistics. So we have brought in SA to ensure that nobody can then begin to change this, because there is serious variables that we must also deal with to ensure that our statistic is correct. We've also partnered with the Department of Health. We're in the phase of now finalizing the interaction with the Department of Home Affairs to ensure that, you know, it's a common thing. Everybody that dies in South Africa should have a death certificate. Now, this death certificate should also have a linkage as to what the cause of death would have been in terms of the strategic issues. Some of the inputs were made by the former MEC of the Western Cape, MEC Khan, when we dealt with them. It was for the first time that even Western Cape then said, now I can give full support at the RGMC if that's the route and the trajectory that you are following in this matter. Implement the innovative technologies. I've already dealt with this matter, Chair, as one of the key objectives. But in the performance, despite I've spoken, let me go back to them and deal with them. To revise our curriculum, development of the traffic officer deployment models. There is no methodology how traffic officers are deployed. You come to the office in the morning, you pick up a vehicle, whether two or one in the vehicle, you get to a point. There is no strategic deployment process. What do we want to deal with, where and how? Deal with also, one of the key issues that we want to deal with in this strategic objective is to deal with the driving schools. We need to ensure that we have a curriculum for the driving schools. We can't complain that they exist, but we need to formalize them and legislate them to ensure that we deal with this question on time. Develop and implement norms and standards. We are one country, we should have single norms and standards. And this is the responsibility of the RTMC to deal with the norms and standards, both on road safety as well as law enforcement. Improve quality of road traffic information. Execution of research and development. We will be failing as a country if we don't have the research capacity that can ensure that we are equal to other countries that we're dealing with. We're playing in the international space. We're playing in the standard space. We need to lead and take leadership from that perspective. Implement performance management system. Here, there is no management system, performance management system that has been put in place for traffic enforcement. Always they ask you, how many tickets have you issued? What is the quality? And what is the return on investment on those issues? They have never been checked to deal with this issue that we are becoming more professional. Improvement of skills of the traffic officers as well as road safety, and to ensure that we have a national footprint. The RTMC does not have a national footprint because we're competing for space, but it's important that at a strategic position, there should be this national footprint. Foster good governance. Strategic objectives: follow the rule of law, equitable and inclusive organization, respond to the developmental goals. This is very key to us. Respond to the developmental goals as enshrined within our MDP. If we don't deal with that space, we'll be failing as the RTMC. Create a conducive environment geared towards service delivery. Key performance indicators, compliance and risk management system, corporate and social investment, equity imperatives, multilateral relations, and creation and support of road safety structures. Now, Chair, allow me then to get to the most important issue, which is the key strategic imperatives. Now, this is what we have. In terms of the 21st century curriculum, we're saying the traffic profession is characterized by shortcomings, ineptness, and inappropriate screening process. There are so many criminals in the road traffic and law enforcement. Convicted, sentenced, fined, but they're still there. Simply because the screening process it's also not appropriate. You don't vet these people. It is important that if you want to deal with the sketch, they say charity begins at home. We must deal with those 17,000 traffic officers that are in our employment to vet them and screen them. Then we can assure you, Chair, most of them will resign voluntarily if some cannot run away before the process even starts. But in this matter, we also want to deal with the capacity building. Qualification, we revised basic training officer qualification in the curriculum. Yesterday, the qualifications of the unit set to accredit the qualification. We expect him. We have made a grade in terms of the law enforcement. But the road safety has been accredited at entry level 5, which then begins to pitch the level of those that are working in those parties. Upskilling. One of the key issues we're very mindful that we already have people in all spheres of government, but it's important that we upskill those people. Upskilling of the current traffic officers, and also deal with the partnership with institutions of higher learning. Somebody said to us, are you responsible for law enforcement in terms of the road traffic law enforcement? You said yes. But he said, don't you think that you are in the wrong profession? Now, I only understand it this morning when we came to Parliament, because our committee is sitting with the Environmental Committee. So it means this man said, if you take all their traffic officers and take them to all the airports, you can market South Africa more ably. People can realize how good South Africa feeds its own people because of their size. So that begins to tell us of something in terms of our law enforcement, that we really need to revisit this process of the upskilling and reskilling of our law enforcement. So we will be recruiting 1,000 new traffic officers for deployment in all provinces, and this will be the new test of the law enforcement officers that you want to have. Sustainability. One of the key issues that is going to sustain us is the good intergovernmental relations. a center of excellency and traffic training colleges. We are responsible for the curriculum and setting the norms for all the traffic colleges, but the proliferation of the colleges, currently we have 13 traffic training colleges. Yet when you look at what the quality, and it's one of the professions, if you want to deal with the professions, then I think SAPS has also led. In the traffic environment, the traffic officer lectures the traffic officer. If you are more, if you have more experience, you are taken to the college to lecture and train other traffic officers. The notion is, if I consume poison, let me ensure that this poison gets to everybody. And that's what we need to change. One of the issues of the sustainability will be the national deployment. The deployment of the officers, we need to have the deployment model throughout the country. Because this deployment is left unattended, and people are doing with the deployment willingly. I can quote into this. This deployment also refers to an issue that you must deal with, and we rely solemnly on the committee, the 24/7. Most of the traffic officers in terms of provincial governments are employed as public servants. And when they're employed as a public servant, you can only work 8 hours, and beyond 8 hours on Saturday and Sunday, it's over. We'll never win this battle until we reclassify law enforcement as an essential service, because indeed, it is one. Career progression, the multi-skilling of traffic officers, responsive structure to professional development. I know Western Cape has been proud to say we have dealt with the 24/7 in our province, but the issue is we are not an isolation. We are not an island in this country. We need to change the laws to ensure that they are applicable to all and sundry. Road traffic injuries results on the road safety front. We are saying road traffic injuries result in disability and loss of life. There is a need to build capacity and sustain efforts to address the problem. This country was saying we're running short of skills, hair skills, but we will all be surprised how many skilled employees we lose on our roads, doctors, engineers, simply because of road traffic incidents. Not simply because they're negligent, but because their lives are taken by the life of the secondary person. So it's important that all of us are on par in development of this matter. In this instance, we are then saying equally the road safety, we need to deal with the qualification, development and implementation of the road safety qualification. Driving schools instructors need to have the qualification, because these are the people that are training people. They normally say that education at the tender age kills. It either builds or it kills. So if you are taught by a person who cannot drive how to drive, you take the bad habits into the roads. So it's important that the instructors and the driving schools also have that, those norms and standards and the qualifications that is then there too. Training. Recall of road safety officers for training and specialized road safety curriculum. It cuts across mainly in all provinces. When an employee is a problem in the department, he gets dumped to road safety. If you are not performing, they say, no, go to road safety. Who says road safety is the dumping ground? When road safety plays such a pivotal role in ensuring that our people have skills. Recruitment of lecturers, facilitators for road safety, and recruitment for road safety like community liaison officers. If all of us align these processes and have the necessary skills at all provincial level, as well as in the metros, we can find this, the sketch. What is our sustainability in terms of the road safety fraternity? Advocacy and education. Establishment of a National Road Safety Advisory Council. We are arriving from the interview of the National Road Safety Advisory Council. It is going to be submitted to the AGM on those people that are going to serve on the National Road Safety Advisory Council. Community Road Safety Councils. Until we deal with this issue from the ward to ward, as we have ward liaison committees, we need to ensure that we have these community liaison councils at the community level, so that communities are engaged from time to time. And road safety marketing must, at all material times, be a key lesson. Building relations, partnership with institutions of higher learning, I'm going to talk to this. Partnership with the private sector, NGOs, and other role players is very key. On the enforcement side, until we have an alignment between road safety and law enforcement, we still have a long way to go. On the road traffic information, a systematic approach to management of traffic information. One is the capacity building, the methodology. We need to define norms and standards for road traffic information and also have the norms and standards in the periodical publication of the reports. System. Reinstate credible systems and make the system available at all provinces. All provinces have different systems. You know, Western Cape has its own system, Free State is using its own system, but it's important that we align all these systems to ensure that in terms of the road traffic management information, we have one seamless system. Recruitment, appoint accident information officers at all key police stations and capture AI forms. We know. We rely on the police on the information, but that information must be credited. To this extent, we think it's important that for each and every accident, we have a data of it and verify the forms and collect the forms and upload with them. At the very same time, deal with the pathological services as well as the private ambulances to have this data so that we can correlate this data and have a credible system. And that's the system that we're putting in place as we. I will pass the sustainability chair and get to the budget. I've already spoken to the chair, but want to share this with the committee. How we are funded. We have said we are funded from the transactional fees that we charge the services that we sell, penalties and fines on the issuing authority, interest on investors' cash. It's a very minimal money amount, but the money that we invest, we rely on the interest to ensure that we can run our day-to-day functions. Also, money is appropriated by Parliament. I've already alluded to this, Chair. But what is important, it all boils down to one thing, that we need to revise the funding model and see whether the corporation can succeed in that process. Chair, we have now given the 2014-2015 ATT. It's very clear that our budget is at 624 million. And this budget, we are saying, is insufficient. It's very clear from the 2015-2016 how we computed it. We know, Chair, there has been a surplus from the year 2012, 2013, 2014. We have regularized this process because there has never been a submission to National Treasury requesting to retain the surplus. In real terms, it's not the surplus. It's simply because there was no correlation between the department and ourselves, because the department has for all material time have been paying for services which they are not getting the income there to. But it is appropriate that because National Treasury has intervened and we are talking with the department, that chapter has been closed. So this deficit, it's on its own misleading as if it has been a surplus, but actually it's not. Had we been paying for the services as charged by TASIMA, it would have been a deficit. Chair, I pause to deal with this matter. We know that we're dealing with the spaghetti and the ITMC, but one day we'll have only one highway and freeway. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thanks to the advocate's presentation here. I think that a lot of good work has been done. but the this good work that has been done, perhaps we need to ask a few questions, advocate about this. You know, listening to it, I think for me it sounds like we will have this Rolls-Royce, but the pace to get to it, it keeps being a distance achieving this particular Rolls-Royce, and maybe you will speak to that. The question that I have, let me start with the funding model, because you ended there. The funding model. Earlier on in your slide, when you were looking at objective, you did speak about moving away from public to commercialization in order for you to become self-sufficient, to self-sustain. But at the current level as we speak, I mean, you have 17,000 traffic officers across. They do enforcement, they generate also what some refer to as a revenue for various authorities. But if they are in the boundary, within a particular boundary, the proceed goes to the close proximity within the boundaries. Now I'm just wondering, when you were talking about the model, do you think that going forward, one of the model has to address that particular aspect in terms of the percentage? Because otherwise you end up with you running out of tires and you're unable to put new tires. But at the particular sphere of depending on the occurrence of a violation, they would be able to generate and buy surplus of tires. You did not speak to a model except to say we need to change the model. I'm just trying to tap your brains. What is the thinking? Or you don't want to speak too early, too soon about it. But it seems to me that you will need to gravitate towards a model that realizes that the expenditure patterns has to have a almost like a splitting arrangement for you to be able to be self-sufficient. I think that's the first thing I just wanted to say. Now, linked to that is the issue of standard and regulation. Now, we have various levels of fees and fines that are determined from place to place. The offense is the same, but the keys are not the same. Now, you said you are pulling resources, you are pulling together, and you have this role of regulation, regulating, which I suspect is a standard in terms of these. Now, what is the progress with regard to that? And how are you going to manage that going into the future in terms of standardization of that which we call violation? The third one, advocate, is in the same breath, how do you arrive at uniform standard of conditions of employment? Because one, you have to address that particular aspect, because if you are going to continue to lose traffic officers between the spheres of government for nothing else but a better condition of employment in terms of the, I think for me, key area of attack should be in relation to those. I mean, the last year or the last term, DEPSA passed a legislation, Parliament passed a legislation to try and pool the resources of senior officers, public service together, so that you are able to even deploy and second without necessarily have someone having to resign. So I'm just wondering, how is that going to help you in terms of the work that you do? will that help you or will it not help you? Well, surely there was some consultation with yourself. The monitoring of the law enforcement during the course of work, you have 17,000. How do you manage the car under the tree? The traffic officer under the tree aspect. They are roasted for 8 hours, but 4 hours is under the tree. Somewhere into the what we call in outskirts area between Beaufort and Lanesburg. What? How do you monitor this aspect? Because you find a lot of stationary vehicles. Others would say it should be moving, meeting with the other one so that they are jointly monitored. But for me, it's still a worrying aspect that only visibility will become deterrent. But if parked under the tree for 4 hours and slightly off the road, now I'm trying to find out what effective monitoring aspect you want to bring in. How do you? Others would put in the monitor into cars, would put in a monitor that can be seen from somewhere, Big Brother watching in terms of effectiveness. Others put something in a car for that to be checked. Now, let me leave this chair and just say that you spoke about the data, the reliability of data. Maybe that also something that perhaps you can speak to. I have written something down as you were talking, and I was asking this collaboration. What is your experience with the collaboration, effective collaboration, with respect to spheres of government? Because you talked about pooling this together. What is the Is a in your view, everybody are hands on deck in terms of this kind of work? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hamsina.
Thank you, Chair. If we could start, Advocate, on page 5, referring to the bullet at the, or not the bullet, but the block second from the bottom, accident investigations and reporting. From your presentation, I gather that there is an intention to centralize data, which to a certain extent does make sense. But the current problem that we have is mainly on the backlog of available information. To what extent do you envisage management over that? But then also the spectrum of information available seems to be a big problem. What measures have you put in place to make sure that that would not happen? Then if we could go to page 10, on the goals, enable legislation to promote road safety. I'm a bit disappointed that the only key performance indicator that you align next to the very important aspect of road safety is to finalize national law enforcement codes. Disappointed in that, I expected a lot more because road safety is such an important aspect. Do you really think that finalizing national law enforcement codes would do something towards road safety? Which is probably a naughty question, but I nevertheless would like to hear your comment on that. Then on page 14, I'm encouraged by the fact that we need to step up with the whole training system that we have, the curriculum that you state, the 21st century curriculum certainly sounds good. When will this be completed? At what date? Because certainly we need to move on and we really need to get there. The thing that bothers me so much is that nobody is afraid of a traffic officer. you know, and people have this general behavior of, I will stop if I saw the traffic cop. And it's not just something in a Schuster movie, it happens all the way. And then the other thing that bothers me very much is the K-53, if it's still around. You know, we train our children to get a license at 40 kilometers an hour. And half an hour later, they are allowed to drive on a highway at 120. Certainly we should look at that as well. Then page 17, the upskilling of the traffic officers. I noted the remark that you said that the training isn't worth the paper that it's written on. But that was a remark tongue in the cheek. I wasn't serious about that. But you know, if I compare that to what we do with SAPD, SAPD also has training. They can get a diploma. They can even go on to a degree with UNISA and so on. So the opportunity to get to high levels of training certainly isn't the big problem. The problem is the enforcement, the investigation, and the actual firing of the people that don't fit in. How would you address that part parallel to these outcomes? And then, if you employ all of these key indicators, what would you achieve with that in terms of percentages and numbers? How much less road accidents would we have, and how much better would we fare in terms of numbers and percentages? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fraser.
Thanks, Chair. Just to start off by saying a lot of things. First of all, it's a very positive presentation of what I hear. Many of the things are things that I, back in 2010, proposed to the Minister at the time, Lucinda Bailey, who I gave a document to, proposing many of the aspects that are in this very document. And unfortunately, I was told that, that I was politicising the whole thing. So I'm very glad that officials are saying exactly the same, many of the things that I said years back. And unfortunately, years later, it's only kind of looked at. But there's just a few things I wish to bring up. The first is, it's been brought up before, the standardization throughout the provinces. And if you could unpack that, because the provincial NECs are stakeholders in your organization. So I don't foresee that there should logically be much of a problem in that regard. You could unpack that and what the process is there. And then just to talk about a few things. First is that you mentioned generally in your objectives, for example, you know, improving your road traffic services and that kind of thing. But I still sense, as I previously said, that your strategy and your objectives seem to be very one-dimensional. I still don't see how your objectives will then can then be measurable to see real decrease in fatalities and deaths on roads. I don't see the link. So perhaps I'm missing something. You could tell me that. Also, things like you mentioned, like the phasing out where appropriate public funding and phasing of private sector investment. If you could unpack that, because I don't see how the private sector would get involved. I don't see how they would make money, because that's what they're there for. And why they'd be interested in this kind of activity. I see this as very much a government type of activity, because I don't see it generating income. But perhaps I'm wrong, and it'd be interesting to find out how. Then the big bugbear which I've spoken in every single budget debate that I've been on the committee, in this committee, and that is statistics. Until 1999, there were sort of a measure of statistics provided. And since then, there haven't been, and for a variety of reasons. And I want to understand why not. I kind of know why, and I see that in your plan you're kind of wanting to change that to make it work. But until the proper, real statistics, they're not going to be contested and questioned. In other words, they're transparent and open, not maneuvered and massaged. You're going to have continual problems with the whole issue of road safety. We need to properly measure deaths and crashes on a monthly basis all the time, consistently, and see where the problems are, and out of that use that information to make improvements. So I'd like you to unpack that a little bit more. And then, and I have, by the way, asked the minister questions in this regard, because I'm still interested in what statistics you have now, even if they are badly bad statistics, and how are we using this bad statistic at the moment to make improvements. Yeah, so you said the right things about the Medical Research Council. I would even go into to statistics and morgues. You know, every other, there needs to be a cross-pollination, all sorts of organizations to confirm all these stats. You talk about eNatus, which makes me very nervous because it's kind of not working. So that's just a comment. And then you say that you're now taking it over from the end of April. What does that mean exactly? And you're going to be inheriting a big problem. Yeah, things like the curriculum with officers and that kind of, I mean, these are all things that we've known about forever. And frustratingly for me, the department's done nothing about it, and all I've been told is that I've politicized the whole thing. So I'm glad if something's happening about it. I'd like to just know time frames. What are we talking about? This is all great. I didn't see it happening very soon, so it's going to be a long process. So you're going to give us some time frames. You know, we're talking about the next 5 years, the next 2 years, whatever. Okay. Then the other bugbear of mine is the fraud and corruption. We know that there's not one single testing center that doesn't have corruption and fraud. And it's really so easy to deal with. And it's the introduction of technology, for example, and so forth. If you can just talk about that, because I've seen nowhere in your presentation talking about that kind of technology. These kind of things can very easily be policed, relatively inexpensively, and the corruption can be eliminated because you're getting rid of those bad apples very, very quickly. I'm just going through my notes very quickly. And then something that kind of jumped out at me was somewhere in your presentation you talked about how the officer is going to be recording certain forms and on incidences and so forth. And that kind of worries me because it's not going to work in reality. You fly all over the world, it's because you're adding more layers of red tape. And again, I'm not hearing about technology. All over the world, you mentioned Sweden, a lot of other countries, they've got rid of papers, they've got rid of handwritten things, and introduced technology. So it's quick, easy, and it's an easy way to report and make use of. And I'd like to hear if that's been investigated. I'm guessing not. But if so, that's good news, and where are we? Because you're saying you're going to be introducing more forms and more red tape, I promise you it's not going to work. That's just the reality. But I would love to see, in your page 19, information, key stations capture AR forms. I mean, it's just, we need to move away from that. It's where you can capture the same information, but using technology. And, there's GPS technology, there's all these inexpensive things that can happen quickly and easily. On cell phones and so forth, has it investigated? And I would suggest that it be investigated because it would, in the long run, be much cheaper and more efficient. I think that's it. Thank you much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bushielo. Once Honorable Bushielo has spoken, we'll request just a short from RTMC if they can respond to issues that have been raised, and then we'll take questions of the other many members.
Thank you, Jefferson. Firstly, let me thank Honorable De Freitas for writing the strategic plan for RTMC. You didn't do that.
I kind of did, actually.
Yes.
It was ignored. I did it 5 years ago.
Okay.
It was ignored.
I think let's commend the RTMC for the work that you're trying to do. We know where the institution comes from, and it's very positive to see the changes that RTMC is coming with. I think for me, one is a comment to say many accidents happen during rainy days. And I know in South Africa there is no institution that trains drivers to drive in the rain. So I think as one of the innovative ways, maybe RTMC can see how best do they teach our drivers to do that. In terms of the financial stability, just to give a bite to what my colleagues have already said, because in terms of your mandate, you are tolerating zero tolerance for crashing and road safety. So if you do that, obviously, your rent revenue collection will go down. So you'll never be sustainable, because there are also other other strategies of government, REF have, SANRAL have, everybody have, and also moving towards the trains and other things. So, and the government also trying to do integrated, efficient, and effective public transport system, which will mean less cars on the road. So your revenue obviously will go down. So I think we need to quickly come out with the funding model in order to sustain RTMC, because that one is not doing that. The other issue, I know you have said you are meeting with stakeholders, but I think also you need to intensify the one within the transport sector, especially SANRAL. I raised issues with SANRAL. I know in Limpopo, where I come from, on the N1, Butogwa, they split the villages there. So the shopping complex is on the other side, so people are forced to cross the N1. And there are many accidents there, and I know in the province, in the legislature, everybody has raised the problem there to say maybe we might want the pedestrian bridge or something to help. So I think maybe you have to also look at those together with municipalities. The other one is the standard designs of some of the roads. Some of the roads are built in such a way that it's an accident waiting to happen, like the Linwood bypass. You know, there you just depend on the driver's mercy. If you want to get into the N1 from Linwood, you have to negotiate with the one from N1 trying to get into the Linwood. So it's Mina Kawena there. So as time goes on with the number of cars on the road, that is an accident waiting to happen. So I would urge you that in terms of your stakeholder relations, looking at this engineering part also with SANRAL in terms of safety, because I think it's your main tool. But also with the road finishers, some of the billboards themselves, while the municipalities are getting revenue, but they distract drivers and cause some of the accidents. So we might also want to enforce some of the standards to the municipalities and everybody, because ours is road safety and nothing. You know, sometimes there's that contradiction between revenue collection and what your objectives are in terms of doing that. And then the other issue is that in terms of operations, which I'm happy that you're trying to standardize and integrate, sometimes there's roadblocks in peak hours, you know, which make it impossible for traffic to flow. And remember, transport is not it's not an end in itself. It's just a means to an end, you know. So we might want to facilitate, you know, the flow, smooth flow of traffic rather than being us, you know, slowing it down. I'm not saying roadblocks should not be done. They should be done. There are many cars which are not roadworthy and all other things. And there must be visibility, I agree with you. But I think, like you said earlier, strategically, you know, when you do a roadblock, you really have to look at how you do that. It goes with the how the municipalities synchronize their traffic lights and all other things, their circles and what. If you go there and observe some of them, you can see there's no standard that they are following. You know, you stop on each and every robot, you know, when you pass there. And, you know, drivers sometimes are impatient, and then they will try to beat the red robots or the amber robots. So I think we also need to do that. The last one, Chair, we need to intensify the campaign to remove vehicles and trucks that carry dangerous goods and substances on our roads, because they cause so much loss of life. You know, you talked about the accident in Limpopo where a petrol tanker burst and so many people, including the police officers, died. So we need to intensify, you know, regulating them, weighing them at Mansoway Bridge doesn't help. You know, if just an accident waiting to happen, we might want to intensify to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate. It's your turn. If you can just summarize what they have said, make a summary of what they have said for sure.
Thank you, Chair.
We'll have.
Chair, I know we come from transport, but I never knew that there is 4+1 and 15+1 until I come here. The questions are fight all over, there's one driver. Thank you, Chair. Firstly, the questions that have been raised are very valid. I'll just try to summarize them. Indeed, the questions that have been raised, that our pace seems to be very slow. We are at the construction stage. So we want to lay a solid foundation so that once we put the mortar and brick on this foundation, the foundation is solid. But yet, we are almost at the horizon, but we'll upscale the pace in relation to this. The issue that relates to, I'll paraphrase it in the sense that RTMC has the shareholders as well as the board. The shareholders, we have the 9 MECs from all the provinces and the minister. That's where the decisions are being taken. So it has become easier to foster cohesion as well as cooperation. However, the history of the RTMC has developed the relationship at that level. So we're beginning to build that relationship. If the relationship was normal and was cozy, we would have moved miles away. So what is more important is to begin to revive and rekindle that relationship and the tensions. The issue of the fines is even more complicated. Once the fines are paid at court, they become the money of the Department of Justice. They don't even get to our coffers because that's a court fine. Though it arises from the road traffic, that's one of the areas that we must then begin to align, because that arises from the traffic initiative and to recompensate the traffic. We are at advanced stage with DPSA to review the conditions. The unions have now agreed to that extent. The only thing that is outstanding and beginning to bedevil the process, traffic officers' salaries are made up even over overtime. That's why you see most of them wanting to make overtime. Now we need to benchmark what would be the appropriate salary entry scale to move them to the essential services so that they become 24/7, because they're going to be losing the overtime when they move into this. So DPSA is at an advanced stage. It's only now that unions are beginning to appreciate what you are then dealing with in this aspect. Traffic officers under the tree, one of the people is relating to us and say, why do you make traffic officers monkeys? That was the letter. And I didn't understand why this man is saying that they're making traffic officers monkeys. But he says, no. They are sitting under trees. Please don't make them not to sit under trees. But this responds to the deployment process. How do you deploy people? Because under the tree, it's either you find them reading the newspaper or sleeping. So the deployment in terms of the visibility strategy. But this is a dual-pronged process, because one of the issues, also the limited resources within the provinces, vehicles, and their roadworthy vehicles. We normally say that if we are to take all the vehicles used by provinces to the testing station, the number of them will be pulled off the road. So that's why they are not covering the 50-kilometer road. They should be moving a 50 kilometers this way and that way to ensure that there's visibility. But they're sparing also petrol, they're sparing all these other issues. We are not quick to say this because the strategy that we're going to be taking to the board, is it not inappropriate that RTMC should then ensure that within our meandering resources, that we then begin to fund the vehicles to the municipalities as a resource to begin to work as opposed to them? Because one of the issues that we're confronted with is also the asset management and the fleet management. There's no skills on fleet management. Once we can deal with and standardize it, we'll be in the position to have more cars are going to be visible. You will recall, honorable member, when you still have the arrival line, how we used to do in terms of the end of the year, ensuring that there are vehicles that are more visible. But we're intensifying that process and submit it to the board, and the board will take it to the shareholders. The reliability of the data and the collaboration with effective with other spheres. I will answer the two questions. The entry to the data is AR form, accident report form, because we are now having dual function. Once there is an accident and there are people that have died, or even when people have not died, police must take over the scene. Now, the first document is an accident report form, which will form the basis of the case to the court. Now, what we are now doing we have revisited this form because this form was only in one format. We need, police need to photocopy for us, need to photocopy for RAF, need to photocopy for lawyers. We have now developed a form in three forms, filled by the police once. Then we have our copy and the copy of the docket. And that form, when you get this form sold to other institutions, some other people are sending that form at 300 rand, which is the form that is paid for RTMC. Not even the police are paying for that form. We see revenue there. Because if everybody was to get that information from us, from the police's revenue. But one of the issues that we're collecting with that form, remember, in terms of our statistics, we only deal with the statistics when four or more people have died. But in South Africa, even one life is a life too many. So that form must also be talking to that one life. Hence the synchronization with SAFSA, with the pathology services, getting to all the mortuaries, getting to the hospital to ensure that we can deal with that data. Because the police also, until this year in May, they were manual. Now, their manual was very more problematic because you relied on faxing. That form must be faxed to another office. Depending on when the form is going to be uploaded into the system, that data gets lost. Now, what you want to do, our members should then collect the form at each and every police station. So we ensure that each and every accident has been accounted. And worst part of it, when four people have died or five people have died, SAPS opens one case docket. They don't open five case dockets. And that's where the other information gets missing, because it's one docket, yet there are 15 people that have died. So we lose that data. So in that issue, having said this, SAPS designed the various stages that you must deal with. We have mostly completed their stages. So at the end, SAPS is the one that is going to audit the steps and verify and declare them as in the same manner that they are dealing with the national elections. So there will be the final arbiter of all the steps that we have talked about. So it means that it's a credible institution. Answering the other issues, this information, banks need this information as well as the images. The banks are not paying to deal with this matter. They're the private sector. They must be paying for receiving this information. They must be paying for receiving this data, as well as all, even some state government institutions must pay for this information. So this we see as revenue that we can ensure that it sustains us. Yes, it might not be sufficient. The other revenue that you're talking about, the marketing and the billboard. This issue, we want to set the norms and standards. How people market on the billboards on the roads. They will talk about, say, liquor, they talk about cigarette, but there's no money switch on road safety. But if you compound the marketing with the message of road safety throughout the roads, it might even make some impact in terms of what we are dealing with. I want to take the best. Okay, fine. The bedlock in relation to the bedlock. We know that the last statistics were given in 2012. 2013, 2014, there's never been a data of the total statistics that have been given in terms of the annual statistics. That's the backlog that we have. However, we're combining these methods, but that problem should be actually put into context. It's simply because provinces have different independent systems of reporting. So they've fallen to the cracks that reporting process. So we've gone back to all the provinces, currently assisting all the provinces to load that information. I think we're almost 87% complete in terms of that process, and we could be verified by provinces, and then the minister would then give that data, because we do not want to give information that is not coordinated. You will know that Western Cape has its own system, Free State has its own system, and Northwest has its own system. So most of the provinces were using Chaffman. But at some point, the contract with Chaffman filed and provinces did not renew them. So we have taken that responsibility. We have renewed Chaffman for a year to ensure that we have this data. But let me deal with a question that Honorable Mr. Defeat has dealt with. We will never deal with the technological aspect until we have dealt with the manual system. The reason why we want to deal with the paperwork until we are satisfied and that's also the advice from SAFSA to say, you can't move to a higher level when you face SAP A. You can't do SAP A. So let's deal with SAP A. Once you have got SAP A right, we'll then move to the data and moving it in terms of the electronic system. The issue in relation to the matter that only deals with the code does not refer to the road safety, the code refers to the traffic. We're saying you shouldn't have an instrument that governs the traffic officers, and the code was one of the issues that is going to ensure that there's uniformity in terms of the police. K53 and the curriculum. Chair, maybe we are just running away from time. The National Road Traffic Act, since 1966, has never been dealt with K53. But let's put this into context. K53 is not even owned by the department. It's somebody who's privately has written that document and he's placing it at all the CNAs who are reviewing even that K53, because K53 is also outdated. Completely outdated. That's why when you say we review the curriculum of the driving schools as well as the curriculum, we're also equally doing the same with K53. But let's then deal with the situation. Most people in South Africa who acquire driver's licenses, they go to what previously knew as code 10. They don't have to go with the right motor vehicles because they're not going to do the parallel parking and all these other issues. But that person, when he gets the driver's license, he moves into a light vehicle and is on the road again. So we need to have a mechanism of regulating that. Whether in Lesotho we know that you are not allowed to drive a code 10 prior to the expiry of 5 years and move to another level. Maybe these are the issues that you must now regulate, because that person that has got that license, immediately as passed, he doesn't go back home with a code 10. He goes back home with a light motor vehicle. The issue of the various weather conditions, we only test them when it's not raining. We don't test them at night, but they also drive at night. So we need to have a system that also attests those people throughout the night. But one of the issues, we are moving towards electronic driver's license and electronic driver's license. South Africa criminals are a step ahead of us. What they do even on the electronic driver's licenses, at a time when they know that they're going to be involved in the corruptive measure, they switch off the plug. The system does not work. Now, these are the issues that we're also then dealing to do with the backlog. But one of the key issues that we are not successful in dealing with, which our structure is not bringing, is the issue of the intelligence in the road traffic. We never had people that are dealing with the COVID issues checking at the testing stations as people that are private to then deal with this case collective. But we have made room for that unit within the department, because we cannot bring the syndicate. Can I pause for my chance? You feel so?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Very briefly, I think touching on one of the comments made by Nkatra Matlakane, the issue of legislative review is also central to the success or otherwise of what we are trying to achieve. The RTMC Act as it currently stands is useless, and I say this with great humility. It has not been aligned with other pieces of legislation. And that brings about contestation along the lines of the separation of power. That is why the collaboration that you take for granted is not there. The provinces will tell you, if you come to this province, we'll lock your guys up because they don't have the right to operate. The municipalities will also tell you, we have these roadblocks because we are collecting our revenue. So that does it between from the 20th to the 25th, because they want to collect revenue, and are within their right to do so. So for us to then realign all of these activities in a manner that is efficient, you need to revisit legislation. In terms of the RTMC Act, and I'm saying this because it is something that we have raised repeatedly, you have a very analogous situation where you've got the shareholder, which is the MEC, and then you've got the provincial MECs, who are more powerful than the minister. And if they do not even correlate at that particular level, the RTMC as it stands, as a body, does not even have the power to take any decisions. And that is the real issue that we've been skating around. Now, we are busy with a legislative review
that tops all of the relevant piece of legislation to ensure that we pull in the same direction. You would expect that because all MECs are involved, it should be seamless, but in there, from my experience, has been the bulk of the problem. For the past 18 months or so, the shareholders have not been meeting, there was no board, and in fairness to the then acting CEO, he had to do all things equal, and when things go wrong, you blame one person. So we've got to also take a hard look at ourselves and take these corrective measures. The issue of the integrity of data, it is a fact that the data that you are putting out is indeed questionable. We wrote in that as the custodians of statistics in the country, and the processes that they explained to us that would lead them to Ntatelhotla being happy to put a chap of approval. That entire value chain spends 3 years. There is no way that they're going to authenticate the statistics unless they have subjected them to various processes. What is even worse is that in terms of our governance or our relevant protocols, if you look at the December period, come mid-week of January, we are under pressure to read the statistics of the road deaths. But some of these people are still sitting in hospital. You don't even know whether they want to make it or not, and by the time an arbitrary cut-off date happens, you have to come out with statistics that by their definition are not authentic. And in there lies the hub. But with the help of state, they have designed a course of sorts to say at least follow the following 10 steps. If you come close to meeting the 10 steps, we will give you some measure of support that seeks to authenticate your steps. Now, if you are to go the entire 9 years, chances are by the time they say these steps are authentic, you'll be overtaken by events because you'll be taking 2017. But they have developed some measure of standards in collaboration with pathology services, health, and all these other agencies. And they've also come up with a tool that should aim as a catalyst towards gravitating there. These things will not happen overnight, but we do accept that the authenticity of your steps are key because they are an instrument. Lastly, we are all hands on deck. All hands are not on deck, and there is honor in accepting that. And one of the impediments that we have also identified is precisely because of various pieces of legislation that are not aligned. You need to be able to say to your provincial counterparts, I'm not in competition with you. My officers, if they're standing on the left side of the road, the others are standing on the right side of the road. If some of them see a traffic enforcement, I mean, infringement happening, they look the other way because they don't regard it as their business, and vice versa. And there is this contestation. Now, it talks to your stakeholder relations. To bedevil the situation well, you have, I think, two provinces where you've got a hybrid of relevant MECs. Gauteng, for example, has MEC transport, and they have community safety. Community safety, Kwamabonisa. And then transport is this one. They themselves are not even aligned. They're pulling in different directions. Now, we're playing politics also at the same time. But having said that, Chair, I think it is fair to say that all the comments that members have thrown at us, long as they were, are indeed valid, and they're going to assist us to go back and take this as work in progress. Because we have to make do with what we have. We inherited a mess that we also and yourselves as oversight, you know, we're complicit in. But I think going forward, there does seem to be, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. And whether or not there has been studies that are aimed at borrowing from best practice, I can confirm that we've concluded a strategic relationship on the advice of the previous committee. We're working very closely with Sweden and Australia to try and see how best we can align our attempts international perspective, because we are signatory to the Decade of Action. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mlaudi. Colleagues, we still have another item on the agenda, so I'm going to request colleagues to really try and be closer to being short.
Thanks, Chair. I think I will be long because I'm in traffic.
No, you're
no
longer a
traffic
officer, you're honorable.
My passion is there. So thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks Advocate and the Chairperson of the Board. I'm very happy by your presentation. I can see you are on the right track now, and it's good because you are lawyers. Lawyers use common sense, they use the rules. So, the purpose of the RTMC to be established was to solve the fragmentation of the traffic policy. And again, 2008 conference of the other organization in Bulawayo, they said the one Singapore. So, yes, which means this fragmentation was also frustrating in the ruling party. So, and all the years from 1999, it was not working. But according to this document, when I read it after the email from us, it was clear that now you have took a right path. We've changed so many CEOs in this RTMC since the establishment. And the longest acting CEO, Mr. Drano, tried to illustrate that. He was alone. The shareholders, he said, the 10%, they were not supporting it. But he tried to make it to be where we are today. So, my first question is, how are you going to solve the fragmentation? Especially now the traffic forces that are in various departments in the province, as you said. And also the issue of uniform. You are frustrating the motorists, even the tourists. You find other traffic officers that are in khaki uniform, the same act, others that are in blue uniform, others that are metros, blue and brown, whatever. So you are confusing the tourists.
What are you wearing?
I was wearing that. And I know there is a tag of four of this uniform. And the ranks also. They are totally different. Try by all means to dissolve that fragmentation. The 2014-2019 strategy. Do you communicate with your sister entity, RAF? Because they are coming with another union being called Road Exam Benefit Scheme. In terms of that benefit scheme, they said they are going to believe on the no-fault system. So if you are a driver, you are drunk, you commit an accident, you are still going to be covered in terms of the scheme. But the present RAF AR fund, if you commit a fault intentionally, knowing that you will claim, They won't pay you. But this RAF which is coming now, it's funding or it's assistance for no fault. Whether you jump in the street intentionally to get money, you will be paid. So I think it is against your own agenda of trying to promote road safety. And the other one is about the skill development in the municipalities. Most of the municipalities in the rural areas, they don't know this called RTMC. Yeah, they are not being assisted at all. So when are you going to start to assist these traffic officers in the rural or previous disadvantage in municipalities? And what are you going to do, as you said, but I'm ready to go to the chairperson of the board pretty clearly, but most of the municipalities are using the traffic functions as a cash cow to fund, to make generation of funds instead of promoting road safety. Mm-hmm. That's why they believe in this under the tree traffic officer in order for them to stop as many cars as possible and issue as many tickets as possible. While the omnipresent, which is the patrolling, which is very good, and it was proven that it can deter the traffic offender not to commit another offense if the traffic officers are visible. Training, yes, advocate, you are right. The training since 1966 until 2040 is the same. We are trained by the old traffic officers, they are called instructors. There's nothing new. So it's good that you are coming with a turnaround strategy. I was thinking, why don't you make the counters in each and every college, like the university, the small council which regulates the certain colleges, so that you can institutionalize it to the high level of education.
the driver's license testing station. Presently, the case is I'm happy because the service is not doing anything. Happy to tell you. Because in terms of the guidance from the Development Transport, they are saying that for a person to pass the driver's license must do the following things. Like they must be inside everything, the robot, one set of robots. But now, most of the traffic station now in the rural area, they don't have, they only have one stop sign. And the person is interested and go to the main road where there is robots and everything, and accident happens. So, and the issue of council, like, why don't we have a council, like a nursing council, where staff officers have to register to, for a practitioner so that you can monitor the suspended staff officers, those who are dismissed, those who are charged, this body, even if you can start it small within the RTMC, it will have each and every staff officer going to be employed must register to that body and be monitored. Each and every municipality or the authority must report each and every activity of the officer. The Sandra, as your sister entity, also communicate with Sandra and also the provincial road agencies of the municipal, like the in metros, in terms of the potholes, because one of the causes of the road accident is the road and its surrounding. We mustn't just speak only on the human beings. We understand human beings is about 83%. But our roads in the municipalities, they're full of potholes, and those potholes are creating accidents. Hence, the municipality are receiving cash through the registration fee and also the licensing fee. Can't they develop something like Sunrun 72 hours? If there's a pothole, Sunrun 72 hours, they are patching the road. That idea must also go to the municipality. The other issue I'm asking is about the art of implementation. There was tug of war in Johannesburg Metro about this art of implementation, and the Western Cape. Western Cape was very, very against this act. So I want to, you must tell us about what the status quo now. And the other thing is the management of the blue light. So many people now, they just want blue light. Once you are a speaker of the municipality, you want a blue light.
Blue light.
So then we want blue light to be managed, if possible, because the law is there. He said the blue light must only be for a person who is a law enforcement officer driving the car. So the issue of the dangerous goods, why don't this traffic officer on our border post manage the dangerous goods from outside the country, because they are the one conveyed with the dangerous goods which we don't even know. If there is a truck coming from Zambia or wherever there, which it must be censored for all the traffic officers who are inland, that this car is coming with dangerous goods checked properly before the accident. The other thing which I asked him, the minister last time, is about the Arrive Alert campaign. Good strategy, don't drink and drive. But the excess we must drink, as long as it doesn't exceed 0.05 grams. Why don't we make a law which they don't drink and drive, finish and drive? Why do we still need some drinking and go to the doctors and measure how many cases today are we losing for drinking and driving? Because a person is drunk, you must go to the district section, this hour, this, then the case is flopped. So we must just make a law, don't drink and drive. The act mustn't allow that you can drink, but you mustn't exceed 0.05 grams. You can drink if you're a taxi driver, but you mustn't. You see, let's just stop drunkards from our roads. Yeah. So the community awareness. I think the community must be made aware. I'm speech. I'm addressing you. Why don't should we have an awareness about this thing of the cost of the accident, the annum, how many billions, so that people must start to make this. You mentioned this about the, like a community called the forest in the water level, so that they can see the lot of revenue is being wasted unnecessarily by the road challenges. The accident investigators of RTMC, they are doing a very good job, they are specialists. But why don't we downgrade them, decentralize them? Each and every province must have such facilities so that if there's an accident, we must quickly go and assist the people there. And I'm very excited that you are sending your RTMC officers to be trained by SADF so that they can manage the criminals on the road. That's a good thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khadari.
But thanks, Chair. Chair, my view is that...
Don't do preambles like your colleague.
No, I don't do preambles, Chair. The issue around the issue of the drunk and driving, I recommend that the RTMC provide most of the facilities to be available and to be relevant at that particular time so that at least we try and prevent that things accident. In that particular time. I think that would be the most effective way of dealing with this disability. The other issue is that you said there are three particular functions that will be taken over by you next April. I'm trying to check in terms of whether you have the facility, enough capacity to deal with it. As you are still saying, you are still crawling. Will you be ready at that particular time to be able to deal with this particular function? Will you have enough capacity at that particular time? The other issue is related to what kind of model that you think you're going to, the funding model that you are intending to have in you know, subsidizing in terms of your funding. Because I just want to get a clarity in terms of that. What is your planning. I just hope you are not planning to your extra funding model to have more tickets being issued in the street, because that's the first outstanding mistake. Because that should also cause more of the corruption within the traffic roads. But then you spoke about the issue of in terms of your recruitment, that you're going to recruit officers that will be capturing the AR forms. I'm trying to check when I go to start advertising those positions and to how many police stations, because you said it's going to be almost all key police stations. How many police stations are you going to allocate to? And if you don't have that information now, you can be able to supply to us later to say which one are those specific police stations so that you can be able to check the spread of those particular offices. I think those are the key important aspects that you must be able to check. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, trying to take note that you at least are responding to the call from the president of saying you must create job opportunities and how, whether it's sustainable or not, so that you can be able to do that. The other issue is related to the curriculum of the traffic officers. As you are saying, I'm trying to check how far are you in terms of ensuring that at least you start retraining some of the other traffic officers. You know that some of the other traffic officers, like my honorable member there, is not qualified traffic officer. Now I know. But how far are you with the inch of the curriculum? But the other issue is related to how are we going to deal with the issue of the relationship between yourselves and the relationships with the provinces as well? I know that at that particular stage, I was also asking myself to say, what is happening? Why is the Eastern Cape always releasing statistics? And before the minister released statistics, why is this? You know, if I had an opportunity, I was going to ask maybe the MEC there of the Western Cape, so that's why are they doing this? Why are they operating silos? Why can't you operate as one country? Yeah? Why are they doing that?
And what do you suggest us as legislators that we must be able to do in order to help you to check such kind of, because we can't be operating silos. Others think they are better than the others. No, no, no. We've got one government and operating one country. And if we share once we say one by one statistic must be issued, this must be one statistic, then it must go down to the other one. Can't find ourselves operating silos. No, you can't allow that. Last chair, you are starting to reform ourselves as RTMC. As a portfolio committee, we are not expecting to engage with you in the future in dealing with issues of transformation, dealing with issues of gender equity. No, no. In other words, we are expecting yourself to start planning from now on as that you deal with issues. When you fill up all the other gaps, positions, you must deal with issues of transformation, deal with issues of gender equity. And surely, you must start preparing as well to issue of capacity within your aspect. If that can be done, I will be happy with everything. But nevertheless, I still know that you still know that qualified traffic.
Thank you, Honorable Kepo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to take much of your attention because we are behind time, as I said.
Chair, I was looking on page. Let me first welcome the presentation by the delegation and state that it was informative and well received by me. I was looking at page 11 of the document with the strategic objectives and the key performance indicators. It's good that the RTMC have prioritized road safety as one of its strategic objectives. But I'm worried on key performance indicators, the last bullet point, which says the strategy combat fraud and corruption, and then the key performance indicator there also says fraud and corruption program. At least should be anti. I'm subject to correct anti fraud as the program. The program should read it such. And also, I'm proud that they are also prioritizing the awareness campaign. My question would be, how will they roll out the program? Will they just throw it nationally, or will they pilot some provinces? Don't they think of a program that can also advantage mainstreaming the program such that it targets early childhood development or young kids at the foundation phase? My other take would be around the issue of the delays that were mentioned here, because in one incident you get a municipal law enforcement subs and you get a provincial one, just in one area, yeah, in one space. Some clustering under the tree, some delaying the motorist, and you get a penalty ticket there. You are subjected to go to prove yourself in the court of law. When you go there, if you don't provide those drinks there, you are given the ticket and you are supposed to go to court. When you go there, the law enforcement is not there. You can go there 3 times. How do you have a system of managing those tickets? Because I think that's where you have loss of revenue. Because you as a motorist, you are ready to pay, but you also want to prove yourself that you were not wrong. But it was the attitude talked about the duplication, I've talked about, and also, no, others have been captured by the previous speakers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Shibande.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I wanted to try to summarize, but I don't know how. Chairperson, you see, like some of the things which were earlier indicated by my colleagues to RCMC, I think the issue of REF must go to REF. Some of the things must go to the REF. Let's go to this one. First, see, there's something which is worrying me about this act of the laws of 1966 and K-53 and the entire presentation. See, if you talk about key indicators, at the end, you must have time frames. By when? Because I don't think it's true to say, to come to us to say, as people are supposed to support you, fundraise, or I mean, in terms of the department and the like, without directing us that you need this by this. By when? A lot of the things which you have mentioned, you never indicated by this time, by this time, by this time. You don't have to find time frames. Then also, which is worrying me, you talk that, you see this thing of the systems, I think slides 18 and 19, that provinces using different systems. You know, I'm happy because one of the MECs is here. As long as your systems doesn't talk to each other, forget. Forget. Why I'm saying that, even there, if you can take us on board, how often do you interact with the provinces to avoid the language which was used by colleagues to say, sometimes you feel that you are not in one country. As I'm speaking to you now, there is a strike today of yesterday of the buses around here over the issue of tickets and the like and the like and the like. So that if the things, when it's brought to the portfolio committee, we are able to interact and assist because we're not pleased on what we're seeing, whatever province, we're not pleased. But it's able to empower us. And then on slide 15, on the strategic objective, you said that you are responding to the developmental goals as enshrined in the NDP. You see, my worry, to me there is a contradiction there. Why? It's because from your own mouth, to say that some of the laws are outdated. So how do you link, how do you reach the goal without an instrument? Because you've got to be equipped first in order to go and fight the war. If you want to go to the war, you take soldiers. You don't take chiefs, of which, in this case, the law is the laws. Because I believe that you're supposed to guide us. I don't think that the whole thing, all your presentation is centered on the laws, which is, from 1966. What other laws which are outdated, so that you empower us to be able to have some piece of legislation to reinforce you for a good case? And then another thing which is worrying me is, you see, on slide number 5, and in our presentation, those who are red colored, which was raised by honorable member, which way are we withheld? I think you shouldn't have brought them here because they are not yet with you. You calculated that you got 10 functions, isn't it? send their 10, but the other 3 is still being withheld. Chester said, you know why I'm worried? You see, what is worrying me, these things goes along with the things which was mentioned by the different provinces, whereby we must run away from duplication in terms of, for example, some provinces are using huge money for consultants, not even for the job which you anticipated to be done, but to appeal billions of friends to, why do we do a complete duplication instead of this thing belong to one entity or belong to somewhere in the department, which is up until the problem is solved? Because my worry is one, is about the budget for this, because it can be another contribution factor which is affecting your budget, which is nowhere. Why then you put it here? Because it's not with your hands, not with your perimeters. It's another contribution factor to your budget. And then another one which is worrying me is that, you see, I will comment it because honorable members who honorable member had to touch it, you see. There are things which psychologically are overlapping, like the issue of equipment. If you wanted to evaluate, you give me a task and you wanted to evaluate me, how are you going to evaluate me without the instruments? Why I'm saying that, like this thing of the, you find that some of the areas, they try to send us, they send us and the police, when there is an accident, nobody, to be honest, wanted to come to the first. Because if the driver is drunk, they don't have the equipment to make sure that that guy driver was drunk or not, whatever. And that's why it comes the equation that do you have a capacity for what to drink. You can be young, as a structure, can be old as a structure, but let's make sure that some of the things, we mustn't talk about the fuzzy, which is a thing which you cannot touch. Let's talk about the things which you can have aims and objectives, but how do we reach them? So these are some of my worries. As I've already summarized the chairperson to by when, time frames. A lot of the things which you've mentioned, I can start from page one of the last page, by when. And it can assist you then to perform your task as it is. And lastly, you see, the Chairperson, which is worrying me too, Chairperson, like, I'll put an example, these laws which we're talking about the ARDO implementation and the like, it goes back about the capacity. Who's supposed to make sure that they will, because what I'm scared of, you can come with the bills which can assist you at the end, nobody will make sure that they are being implemented. And the issue of the R2, if you can assist that, which provinces, which are, because I don't think that are all 9 provinces are failing to implement R2. Maybe some provinces are failing, some are not failing. I'll put my case there, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That was very elaborate from all members. I only have one. MDG 2015, who definitely will be able to have lived up to the expectations. How far is the program? Because you just spoke in passing. If I know that you may not necessarily be able to respond here now, but if you can be able to indicate to the committee that these were the MDG targets, and this is how we have performed in terms of meeting those targets towards 2015, that will also be very helpful. But also to indicate to the committee that in terms of the National Development Plan, these are our areas of focus, where we know capacity building will be one of them, job creation and all those things, those that are really specific to you, because we know that the department has really highlighted that these are the areas of focus in terms of the NDP critical issues, your specific issues that you believe will be able to assist us. budget that is allocated to you by Treasury is 10% of what you are having. Is there a possibility that you can make a proposal to us to say this is what is our expectation, so that when we go talk to the Treasury, then we're able to say to Treasury, we will be having reasons as to why we should push, whether we want to push it to 5% more or however. It becomes very important that we're able to get the indicators as to how to handle this matter going forward. These are the three critical things I wanted to talk to. CEO, ride on, brother.
Before CEO, let me just deal in 30 seconds with the principles that are cross-cutting the issues that members have raised, and my CEO will then operationalize. And where there is a gap, we will more than gladly respond to specifics in writing so that we don't waffle. But I think, firstly, with regard to Ntate Molaodi, I can say all the comments have been noted, and I'm not going to respond thereto. But most importantly, members must also remember that we are a creation of statute, and we can only do that which the Act says we can and should do. Hence, we raise the issue of the possibility of legislative review. Because all of these questions that the members, including yourself, are raising, talk to our ability to perform. But we cannot perform because we are a creation, one animal, that consists amongst the myriad of other legislative entities. And until there is synergy and synchronization, we'll talk for the next 10 years. It is not as if we are irrelevant by not giving you timelines. We deliberately refrain from doing so because there are certain fundamental imperatives that must precede that. Because we are going to put timelines for the sake of compliance, we'll come here and shoot the whole post again. But having said that, Chair, let me also state that as NECA stands, we are in a state of readiness to present our proposals to the shareholders. We are actually meeting with the shareholders this coming Friday the 19th. There was a comment made by one of the members to say, how often do you engage? We had concluded the round of consultations with all the shareholders, and lo and behold, we had a reshuffle. We lost two of the other MECs with whom we had been engaging extensively. We had to resuscitate that. Now, that is happening again on Friday, and it would be impolite and imprudent to put the cart before the horse, because we are yet to seek their concurrence on some of the critical on some of the critical issues that they have raised. Now, lastly, you see, Chair, with regard to the budget, and thankfully the CEO of the department is here. We were requested to submit our budget 2 weeks ahead of the deadline, precisely to factor those kind of considerations to say our responsibilities have now been increased, roses have now been sent to us. Realistically, it would require 1.1 billion, but we have said that through in terms of protocol to the department, who then synchronize our budget before it comes to the parliamentary processes. So that is work, you know, in progress. By the end of September, they would have presented their budget. We don't present our budget on our own, you know, the side. So I think that is by way of the timeline. But I think lastly, Chair, and I say this because I am giving command to the operative here. The truth of the matter is that we are only as good as the legislation that brought us into being. The truth of the matter is that the MECs that were charged with the responsibility oversight over the years have not done that. And that is why you are in the mess that we are in. But we accept that we have to work with the laws as they currently state. We are not legislators. We also can't sit back and do nothing. We've got to make do with the laws as they stand and say, having engaged with these laws, this is a room for improvement. And we have to table that informed proposal on how we think that the laws need to be structured. Now, you can't give a timeline to that because we can only make a recommendation. It is a subject matter of the parliamentary process that we are unfortunately not in a position to influence. We are expecting that in the next 5 years, we should have turned this ship around. We would have had all structures in place. It's comforting to members to note that one of the imperatives in terms of our global commitment was to have the road safety council implemented. we finished the contract, the interviews yesterday, we were putting it before the shareholders this very Friday. And now some of the policy issues that Contact Terminal was talking about are going to be ventilated in that forum. We should have that council installed, not by us, but by the shareholder on the 1st of November, if all goes well. And they will do the distillation at that point. Operationally, if you look at the newspaper, for the past two weekends, we have advertised a structure that, one, is approved by the shareholder, two, that is supported by the budget, and that is also work in progress. You've never had the RTMC operating at that level before. In fairness to the former CEO, he was supposed to be everything. And when things went wrong, we were quick to blame individuals. But I think we are at the foundation phase. All of those building blocks are in place. If you talk about timelines, I can assure you, at the next financial year, we should be able to give you a different picture. I do not think it would be prudent for us to try and give you a good story when you know at the moment there isn't, because we are trying to rectify and regularize. From a labor perspective, the unions are now on board. We have regularized. So it is all hands on deck at that operational level. But, Chair, in the interest of time, if members still want specific answers to specific questions, we do have the information available. We can respond in writing for members to apply their minds on specific responses. But if we are directed to do so now, we'll do so, because we are in a state of readiness to engage. The idea was not to come and pretend that we are messiahs, but to say, look, we have had a history, we've accepted our history, but we are taking corrective measures, and we subject ourselves to your will, and we are also going to benefit from your conventional and collective wisdom. But, Chair, let me pause at that, and on your direction, you can indicate if there is still a need for us to respond to every single question that members have made. Notwithstanding the fact that I'm undertaking that we can do so also in writing and corroborate that which you are saying in our response. But my CEO is more than ready to fire off.
Thank you very much, Advocate Majabu. I think we will expect the RTMC management to respond to some of the questions that have been asked. If there's policy documents that you believe we should be able to use, we'd really appreciate that for members to be able to take the processes forward. But we must outright say that issues of legislation for this term, we know that there are there's three legislations that has come from the department that you must deal with at parliamentary level. But the RTMC issues have not come to our attention. But we will make sure that we impress upon the minister and the department that they are able to also fast-track that, so that it can be able to come to our attention. Because the more we procrastinate, the challenges will be insurmountable, particularly on your part. Because these are critical issues that we have to deal with. We're dealing with lives of people. We're dealing with issues of the economy, and we can't continue deferring and delaying. And I'm just focusing on the issue of intergovernmental issues, because for as long as we don't have a law which actually is regulating issues of intergovernmental, we come here every day, talk to those issues, and they don't get done, because everybody, we've got a turf, everybody is protecting their own turf, and they care less. And as long as there's no guidance, legislation which is saying that this is the route in Kombangela, this is what you must follow, you'll always find this scenario that was painted here, that you've got the police here, you've got RTMC here, you've got the Metro Police here, and all of them. It's also a waste of resource, because our objective is to one thing, road safety and making sure that our people are and do feel safe. But if we work in silos, it becomes a challenge. I hope comrades and colleagues, you would definitely, comrade Freitas, he is laughing, I'm seeing that when I say comrade. I'm taking the comrade thing from a dictionary point of view.
Yeah.
So that is why he's laughing. But colleagues, if we can be able to maybe reduce RTMC, they will make a follow-up of some of the questions that have not been spoken to in writing, and will receive them in due course. Thank you very much. advocate and your team of board and the executive management. Thank you very much.
You know, I don't have a dollar in this one.
Thank you, Honorable. Let's continue. We're going to get a presentation from of the first quarter by the Department of Transport in this instance. Take care. Yes. And we've got the first quarter expenditure by the department. We've got the CFO who will be presenting on behalf of the acting DG, who is in another meeting. Thank you very much. If you're ready, we are ready.
Thanks very much, Chef. Thanks to the honorable members. One does not like to start in our presentation by apologizing, but it looks like we need to apologize, especially on the presentation. When it comes to percentage spent, I think our guys moved a bit of slicing. We're doing it using Excel, so they jumped from the wrong slide, but I would give you the figures, and then we'll then give you the nice and correct ones, especially on the spend side. It's just the percentages that are wrong, but everything else is correct. The presentation we will go through the expenditure for the first quarter. We will do expenditure per program, and we'll try to also give you a sense of the performance of the first quarter. Expenditure per economic classification, and we'll give expenditure per program, the economic classification, and the performance thereof. And we'll give you details of transfer payments. If you look at our budget, almost 99% of the 48 billion that we have is money that are transferred either to households, provinces, municipalities, and of course our entities in the main. The monetary mechanism for transfer payments that we have terms of DORA and the intervention to reduce the vacancy rate. You would see that most of the programs have slightly on the issue of compensation underperformed, and that is because of the vacancies, and we thought that we might give you a sense of where we are with those vacancies. We go to slide number 3. Expenditure per program and the performance thereof. We look at all the programs. Our total budget is about 48.7 billion. We have spent in the first quarter 14.4 billion, and we have got, of course, left is 34.3 billion that is needs to be spent in the next three quarters. If you look at administration, your cash flow projections for the first quarter are based on a linear equation where we are saying it must actually be quarter of what should have been spent, and the expenditure is now sitting at 103 million for the administration, and that in fact translates to 26.98%, not 138%, as it's put there. Integrated transport planning, the budget is 81.1 million. What has been spent is 11 million. What we projected should have been spent, if we take the linear equation, is 21.7 million. It leaves us with about 69.7, meaning we have spent only 4.05%, not 62%, as it's on the slide. Rail transport, we have spent about 7.7 billion of the 15 billion rand budget, which works out to 51.54%. Road transport, the budget 21.6 billion. We have to date in the first quarter spent 5.2 billion, which works out to about 24.04%, not 102% as you might be having on the slide. Civil aviation, the budget is 148 million. To date, the expenditure is 32 million. We had projected 52 million, and that works out to 21.67% of the total budget that has been spent. Maritime transport budget 110 million. We have to date spent 19 million in the first quarter, and the cash flow projections were at 23 million. That works to about 17.93%. That should replace the 86% that you have in the last. And the last one is public transport, 11.3 billion. The expenditure is 1.2 billion, and that works out to 11.43%. And the cash flow projections was around 1.4 billion that was supposed to be spent. We will then discuss why that amount is not 25% as expected on a linear progression, and that's what we thought should be there.
Can I just need to get a clarity here, Chair, before you go forward. Whether the mistakes are only in the first page, or you're going to see more mistakes in the papers.
Yes, only on the percentage spent.
On the first page only.
All the percentage spent.
Yeah, because if it was me, Chair, I was gonna say the CFO must go and read the document, because this is a public document, one. The challenge with me with the public document is that if us as members of Parliament accept a public document that is faulty. It reflects on our image as members. It really reflects us as a member. I don't know, Chair, how does other members feel, but in my previous committee, once the document comes forth as this, you know, we turn back the DG of Higher Education and Training, Quebscon. He got angry with me, but I said, no, this document has got two faults. It was only on one page, but he turned him back to go and fix up the document and come back in. But I'm saying, I don't know how members feel about it, but I'm just saying, that's why I was asking whether it's on the only one page. Oh, we're going to go through and through until the last page is seeing the six. And I don't know. It's really going to reflect on our image as members. That's my challenge. Yes.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hunsinger, you wanted to say something?
Yes, Chair. I fully support that this is going to be an embarrassment. And if I'm prepared to... I mean, if I look at the percentage spent, there's no column that adds up equal to what is presented here. I put it to you that the first column is not 100% spent, but 90.14, and then there's a couple of several, actually, copy and paste issues on this, which I can see where the numbers come from, but it doesn't make financial sense, so I also suggest that we don't go any further with this. It's going to be embarrassing.
The proposal by Honorable Rab Hadebe is being seconded by Honorable Hunsinger. I think CFO, you need to take us serious and be able to double check your work before it comes to us. Because definitely this is something that is unacceptable to the committee, that would have be given information that is wrong. And you must also remember that this information, once it's set here in front of the committee, is a public document which actually puts the committee's reputation at stake. So we will therefore dismiss the department. We will tell you when you will be able to come and speak with the committee, but we expect you as a CFO to really monitor your work and maybe just do quality assurance of the work that is happening in the department, so that you don't come here and correct the things in front of the public. We have members of the public here who are seated as you are doing those corrections. Assuming that there was media here, what are they going to be saying in terms of this? Definitely we will refuse the department and we will continue with the other work of the committee in this instance. We will communicate when the department can be able to come and sit. Ramachakana, you had, Honorable Ramachakana, I'm sorry, you had something to say?
No, Chair, I wanted us maybe just to record a proper resolution that we take on the document. I think that so that we clear what we're saying. We as the committee, I think, is just to emphasize that we don't accept this document, basically, and we are asking that this document be withdrawn and sent back for all these corrections to be done. So this document is the stamp detected by the committee, so that at least we have a proper record of what we say.
Thank you very much, Honorable. I think the resolve will be solid. Thank you very much. If colleagues can be able to just bring, what is it, to just collect all the documents and be referred back to the department. Thank you very much. Can we continue with the... can we continue with our agenda? We will recuse officials from the department and we will continue with our agenda of the meeting. Honorable Sivande.
Yes, before you. You know, I'm so worried because, yes, of course, procedure and we are right on the right track to
to return all the documents to them. But already, I'm not sure about the circulation of the business system, whereby they circulated with the emails and the like. What we can say, let us agree as parties, but not as parties, as a committee, that please, let us not have any comment in the media except the chairperson of the committee.
Honorable, I think we are clear as a committee that as a committee we really believe that this document is not properly structured. We are instructing the department to really go and do proper work in terms of what is expected to be presented to the committee, and this is what we have resolved around. And therefore, in essence, it says we haven't dealt with anything that has to do with this. We've got this information to ourselves, but we haven't dealt with it. And even me as a chairperson, I don't have the authority to talk to this because it's something that we have rejected.
Sure.
You are released. That is unparliamentary. You can't move. Thank you very much. We will be dealing with the minutes of. We're dealing with the minutes of the 5th of September, Honourable Member. Can we look at page 1 if there's anything? Page 2 of the minutes is still a continuation of the officials in attendance. Parliamentary staff and presentation by RAF. Anything else? Can we go to page 3? Discussions and processing of claims, those are the headings. It's gone. No corrections. Properly structured. Can we move to the last page? Last item, Honorable Humsinga, Honorable Bushiello, you will follow.
Thank you, Chair. There were two questions that's not referred to in the section that follows into page 4 with regards to the RAF's remarks and short suggestions that we had around that. The one is what the effect would be on the fuel levy, which I really regard as an important aspect. So I would also want it to be noted that it wasn't really answered and that it's still an outstanding concern, seeing that we have a deficit in the current RAF fund and now a proposed new structure that would be funded from the same source. And that question is still outstanding. And then, Chair, also the suggestion that we would have a focused meeting on RAFs alone. That I don't see anywhere reflected in this minutes, also not under recommendations, although there isn't such a heading. But I do recall that that was something that we said. Yeah, there was also a suggestion that that meeting that I've just referred to might happen in October, which I think is a good targeted time, since we have public participation meetings now, of which times we still haven't received. We only received the dates and so on. We still don't know at what time those events happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bushiello.
Chairperson, on page 4, the first sentence, I think we need to just restructure it. Members commented the ARF on its ARF on the race program. I just think the question needs to be there to do.
Yeah.
And then the on 3.3 funding, the first paragraph, the second sentence, members question whether the implementation of road accident benefit scheme will be definite solution to the rest funding challenges. I think in terms of the bill, we agreed that we'll get a presentation from the department, and then we'll take it from there. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think what members are trying to correct are some of the what transpired in terms of the proceedings of the meeting, which have been left out. And I think Honourable Bushiello, what can be a rider here will be that we spoke to the issues of road accident fund, a road accident benefit scheme, but also put a rider that as soon as the executive processes are finished, then it will have to come to the committee for further execution. That is what you are implying.
But that's what we said also.
Yes, that is what we said in that meeting. That is what I'm saying, that it's something that has been omitted. Anything else arising from the minutes? Do we have something that is will be arising from the proceeding of the meeting of the 5th? Nothing going off. Honourable Michelle?
Yeah, I think she will be waiting for the date where the department will come and discuss on the date.
Okay. Members, have you seen the...
I think members, unless our date for the department process, I've emailed it. I also got hard copies for members that might not have been able to email. But in terms of when...
The time
yes. For the process, we don't know when the voluntary is available.
The times were not sent to the secretary, so yeah, it becomes very challenging. If you can just interact with RAF for them to send us the times of the public hearings. I think what is left is...
Can you say something?
Yeah.
The contact numbers of the DGC, DGC, and all the RAF people are in that email, so they can actually contact the guy. That's why.
Honourable
Defraitas, Honourable Boucher. No, I think, thanks, Chair. I think the Valerie did respond because, for example, it talks about the 40-year campus, but it didn't say which one. But anyway, we'll deal with the officials I recognise.
Honourable
Boucher.
I was saying, might not all of us contact the person. Let the secretary coordinate for us. We can make proposals to our availability and let the secretary together with the official.
It shall be done. Anything else, Honourable Ramatakana?
Chair, I wanted to move the acceptance with the amendment, the adoption with the amendment.
Have been adopted with the amendment. Any seconder? Honourable Hadden. Honourable seconded the acceptance of the minutes. Anything else, Honourable Member? Secretary, is there anything?
The program next week will continue, members, next week from the 2 weeks. So on Tuesday there will be a meeting. In the morning, there will be the processing of the Nairobi International Convention. There's a push to have it on the order paper on the 4th of November, so that will be a quick thing. And then the Auditor General of Office, I'm going to train members on oversight, that's in preparation for the budgetary review process that will start on the 14th of October. The program will be ready once I discuss with the chairperson for how the annual reports I think are going to be taken place.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Boshe.
President, I want the committee to note that next week I'm attending the conference of the Auditor General in Rustenburg. I've been nominated to be part of it because I sat on the committee.
Okay.
So from Monday to Friday, we'll be on that committee.
Honourable Defraitas, Honourable Singer.
Sorry, Chair, my apologies. I see that also we got a notice that we're doing something on Thursday, the 25th, to meet with AXA. May I just ask, is there a reason why the Cape Town International Airport, not our Tambo, is the biggest and most important airport? I just would have thought it would have been better there. I just want to understand what the logic would be.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, why they chose Cape Town International, but they must still confirm that that I think I said provisional, because they also want to meet, I think they want to meet Chair first officially before we go. So we might still be able to pull their arm, and it might be a later date when we could go to our
arm. As soon as possible.
Chair, isn't it our decision? Now it sounds like it's the other way around. It's like the AXA will determine where to go. We should be the other way around. We should say if you want to go to the OWA that we're going to OWA, then they must make a necessary arrangement for that. So I just think that for me, I would think that's our decision, not necessarily their decision. In this case, if we think Joburg is a better OWA combo, then we say so. That meeting with the chair is fine, that can happen. But in terms of the oversight, we should decide on the day.
Good point.
Honorable Michelle?
Also, just to give an input, I thought our program now is to meet all the entities so that we understand their strategic plan and annual plan. So I thought AXA would come then to present like everybody has presented. And I think we promised almost all the entities that at one stage when we are, you know, we've grabbed what they're doing, then we'll be able to do this situation and everything. So I would propose that we continue with meeting all the stakeholders or the entities, including AXA. Then after that, we'll then determine where we want to go and do the oversight. Okay.
Can we maybe say that this can be a part of our meeting with AXA, as we will be going, whether we're here or in OR. Mm-hmm. They come and make a presentation of their strat plan and APP, and then we are able to do oversight once we have dealt with that. We have killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Where would they must feel it will be ideal, whether we meet them in OR or in Cape Town? Honourable Director.
I'm agreeing with my colleague, but I think it is, I'm just remind our committee that there's 16 entities in this portfolio, so I'm worried about that we're not going to get it, all of it. So I like the idea, if I may, that they give us a full presentation like the RTNC has done. The difference with AXA is that it's a physical building and so forth, so perhaps we do the full presentation. My suggestion is our Tambo, because it's the biggest one, it's the most international one, and then we do a tour after the we also be saving on costs and everything else, and killing, as you say, two birds with one stone. But my suggestion is Tambo, because it is the biggest one, and that is where you can then see the whole gamut of everything that's related to AXA, you know, even customs issues and baggage and all sorts of things, and they take us to tour into the back rooms and that kind of thing. So if I may disagree with, and agree at the same time with my colleague, thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleague's proposal is that we go to OWA Tambo. We'll have a meeting and then oversight at the same time. Can we get somebody endorsing or disagreeing? Mm-hmm. Honorable Bishir?
Yes, mm-hmm.
We endorse. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. On that note, the meeting is officially closed. Thank you very much, Honorable. Oh. Okay.